I am super glad to be here. I am so glad that you have all made it. I was laughing with my husband. I actually shaved my legs for this. I never do that. I really am West Coast. So consider yourself, you know, special or whatever. I was also joking with him because in the shower, I normally sing at the top of my lungs, just like most of us do, or maybe some of us. Yeah, give me a nod. Give me a nod. But the last 2 months, I've been doing this talk in the shower. So this is like my 100th time doing the talk, and I'll tell you what, my kids are going to be so brave. I will be thrilled for them. Before I begin, though, instead of me explaining bravery, I wanted you to hear it from some of my people. So I want to play this quick video before I begin of what does it mean to be brave? Okay, what does brave mean to you, Miss Zoe?
Scripture tells me that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
I think of bravery as boldly facing a fear or a problem, even if you're afraid.
The courage, even in adversity, having the courage and the boldness to stand out on your faith.
It's tough to be brave sometimes.
For me, being brave means respect people no matter what, and you have to hold your opinion if you don't want to say something good about people.
I believe what makes a woman brave is her ability to self-love in a world that has taught us not to embrace our uniqueness.
What does brave mean?
To be stronger.
To be stronger.
When I think about what it means to be brave, I immediately think about the things that we're scared of. Whether it's a childhood fear of the dark or a fear of the future. Perhaps just a fear of the unknown that we can't see. Or even sometimes things we're afraid of about ourselves. And to me, brave means that you face that, whatever it is, and you walk forward in the best way you know how towards that fear and find your way towards freedom.
What does it mean to be brave?
Let's go. Save the day.
Save the day. What does it mean?
Brave.
Emerson, what does it mean to be brave?
Save the day.
Save the day.
Caroline, what does it mean?
Save the day.
To me, being brave is doing the next right thing, even though it's hard.
Okay, what does it mean to be brave?
To do what you love.
Is learning to trust God with whatever circumstances He brings into your life.
To me, being brave means that I understand that my spiritual journey is going to take me to places where God is not domesticated, but He is wild and untamed. And to be brave, I have to lean into my fears, and I need to sit in the uncomfortable and push through the awkward and create that space within where the Holy Spirit can do His transforming work.
Drop the mic. Let's pray. Jesus, help us to be brave tonight, Lord. Help us to be brave with one another. Help us to be vulnerable in the times that You want us to be real. Help us to listen to You and to take the time to be brave. In Your precious name, amen. So, it's a work day. Okay. There we are. I thought I'd start out first because some of you don't know me that well and none of you grew up with me. So I am West Coast. I grew up in Washington State. And here is my fam jam. I grew up in a family that we all got to know Jesus together. My parents became Christians when I was younger. And basically, honestly, the bravest people that I know are those two up there. They gave us the greatest gift, and that is they told us about Jesus. And they told us it's okay to be broken. And they told us it's okay that we don't got it together. And it's okay that we have a hard time together sometimes. And that's my father. I am a daddy's girl. So they really did teach us all to be brave. Anyway, so there's my family. And so I'm from the West Coast. I feel like in the South you're kind of identified. I'm from the West Coast. Now, I also lived in Hungary. So here we go. I moved to Hungary when I was about, how old was I? I guess 21 or 22. I love adventure. I loved being brave at the time. I thought that's what it meant. So I decided to move to Hungary. My sister lived there, so we got to kind of be together. But if you don't know, Hungary is right over here. It's in the middle of Europe. I didn't know where it was when I moved there. So it's landlocked. It was a communist country for a long time. And it's, I mean, when people say, oh, you're a missionary, that's so cool. I'm like, I kind of wasn't very good at it. I mean, I kind of had to ask Jesus to be brave all the time. If you look over here, these are my, there were a group of us that brought sports, softball to Hungary. And I got to coach one of the teams, and see, these are some of the girls that are up there. And when Kate says at the beginning that bravery is sitting in the uncomfortable, that was me. I would sit in the uncomfortable, being that if you see here on the very right, this was Judith. This was just wonderful person, loved her to death, was a gypsy, was a Roma, meaning she moved around a lot, but she always came to softball, even if it was a few hours late. And she loved, for some reason, she thought I was hilarious. She would just look at me and laugh because I know I did look ridiculous. But she would invite me to her home, and I would invite her to mine, and we would talk, except for that I didn't know Hungarian. She didn't know English. So we kind of would talk, but mostly she would make fun of me because I did look ridiculous in the middle of Hungary. But I had to sit in the uncomfortable knowing that God was going to use me, even though I had no clue what I was doing, sometimes even where I was, but that the Holy Spirit was going to work. One of my favorite stories is that when I would go over to Judith's house, I would sit down in this, I can't even begin to describe this place that we would go, but anyway, she'd have me sit down in this house, and the kids would all come over, and they always loved to serve me food. And for those of you that think that missionaries are people that have food where, oh, they just love all this diverse food, and they did, okay, I don't love diverse food. Growing up, what did I like? Grilled cheese, pizza, hot dogs. So, sitting down at a Hungarian's, you know, table with all this different kind of food was not that comfortable for me. So the children would start to make fun. My favorite story is when they brought me this chicken foot soup, which a lot of people love, and I'm so glad for you, and that's great. Way to go. I don't like chicken foot soup. So I would sit there, and they would always, I also didn't like beer at the time, so they would give me a hot beer, which was so nice. It was, beer is cheaper than water there. It was very nice of them to give me the soup. Very nice to give me, you know, the beer. But I had to just sit there, and the kids would come up and take the foot, chicken foot out, and they would go, and I'd be like, oh, of course, I can't handle this. So I know I turned green. That's when they would start laughing. And I'd say, oh, custom say pen, you know, not John. You know, like, thank you, this is so great. And they always handed me a napkin because they knew I would spit it into the napkin. I would politely put it behind me. So, yes, missionaries are just normal old people. Y'all could do it, too. But I loved it there because I got to know Jesus in a new way. I got to know that Jesus would work even though I am not capable. Okay? So, again, I just feel like being brave together means that when I wasn't hungry, that when I did not feel comfortable, that he was capable and he allowed me to speak him to people that I didn't even know their language. Okay, then fast forward, after a little bit, I met this man named Oliver. He's down here. This is the invitation that Jill was talking about. Right down here? That's right. I just made it into a little card and invited people to our wedding. Oliver and I are maybe just a little bit different. This West Coast girl, I met Oliver, and I just, you know, I heard this good-looking Southern gentleman was moving to Hungary, speaking English, and I thought, that's my man. I'm going to be all about him. So, of course, I intentionally got to know him, and when I want to get to know you, you're like, oh, my word, you're so so annoying. I just kept like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Where are we going today? And all the things. And, you know, Oliver's like, meh, meh. We go on dates, and eventually, like, we started dating, and it was about 6 weeks in, and Sadler and Tom, my mother-in-law and father-in-law came, and we went to Salzburg, and it was so just romantic, and he hadn't kissed me yet. And I'm thinking, well, maybe he's from the South. They're very, you know, formal. Maybe I need to tell him that he can. So we're going on this walk in the South. I mean, in the mountains, literally, the Alps. We're walking, and I'm thinking, so romantic, it's just him and I. Maybe I need to tell him. So I'm like, I'm going to be brave in this. Like, literally, I was shaking. I was so nervous to say it to him, but I was like, I can do this. I turn to Oliver, and I'm like, listen, you can kiss me now. And he turns to me, and he goes, do you want to go upstairs and get the skirt? And I can wear the skirt, and you can wear the pants in the relationship. I just looked at him, and I'm like, oh, no. Yes, no. Just, he did not kiss me that night. It was hysterical. When I called my dad up, he said, and that's your man. Like, he's the one for you. So I feel like that pretty much tells our whole lives, where Oliver and I will always have a good time, even though we really don't always see eye to eye, and we have epic fights. I mean, if y'all want to talk about that, we'll talk about that all day long. It's fantastic, but we love each other with a lot of passion. And when we were in Hungary, we got to have our first three children. I mean, come on. Look at those cheeks. When the little old people would come by, they would go, oh, Pom, Najon, Hushi Baba, and they'd come and they'd poke at their little cheekies. And Hushi Baba literally means meaty baby. So they would come up to me, Najon, Hushi baby. And then they would also, this is inappropriate for Trinity, but I'm going for it. They would also come and touch me, you know, see how much milk I have. And I'd be like, oh, Najon, milk. You know, like, I'm an American, step back. But let me tell you, these as cute, I mean, look at their horrible outfits when they were born. Sorry, I do have to point this out. This yellow and blue, I mean, But when they were born, it scared me half to death. I mean, I would love to say that I was brave and just like, go get them. They're in Hungary. This is awesome. I was like, I am alone. I don't know what to do. I really had no milk to give them. And all these people are telling me what to do, and I can't understand them. I was scared. I was not capable. I didn't feel like, oh, let's go get them. You know, here we go. I'm this great missionary. Oliver and I just had to kind of figure it out. And I think that's kind of when being brave together, when we'd always tell each other, help Jesus. Ask Jesus to help us be brave. Ask Jesus to help us be brave. And then we moved back to the States, and there they are. We had our twins. I had to put this picture up of me pregnant. I mean, come on. I was brave enough to go outside with a sleeveless shirt on 2 weeks before my babies were born. Really no point to that picture. Just saying and being honest with you. That's really bad. But today, I don't want to just talk about, you know, those are my stories. That's kind of where I'm from. If you want to talk to me one-on-one or in a group about that, all day long, baby. I love telling stories to each other. But really, I don't think we're defined by our stories. I don't think we're defined by things that happen to us. I think we're defined by the Holy Spirit and what He tells us about. So I want to talk to you about being brave in our rest, being brave in our stories, and being brave together. Because let me tell you, women, I need you. And I think maybe you might need me too. And that's not because I'm awesome. It's because the Lord tells us that that's, you're awesome and I'm awesome, when we really point each other to Christ. I love Winnie the Pooh. I teach K-3 now. Love him. Did you ever stop to think and forget to start again? Good old Winnie the Pooh. As women, I think we would say, no. We always are thinking. Please, some nods. Are you always thinking? I'm always thinking, What's going on? What's happening? What's my schedule? How's my relationship? Did I hurt her feelings? How's my husband? Is he okay? What are my kids doing? Do I need to get some food for them? What am I doing in my career? Am I doing what I think God calls me to do, or am I just doing it just to do it? Am I tired? I don't know. Am I tired? Do I need a drink? Do I need to eat? All the time. You know what I'm talking about? Just going and going and going, and I don't stop. I'm like, I'm not winning the pew. I never stop thinking. And what the Lord has brought me to is, as women, do we ever stop to clear our minds? Do we ever really tell Jesus every single thing that's on our hearts? That takes rest. I love a spa. I could spa all day long. I really do. I love to rest. I'm not a mom that's like going and organizing, the tidy up person that you guys, that's not me. I love to rest. I love to Netflix and chill. But that's not the kind of rest I'm talking about. I'm talking about soul rest. I'm talking about, do you ever, I'm struggling with this. I'm trying to get there. When I pray, when I talk with the Lord, do I get to the place where my thoughts are now His thoughts? Do I get to the place of where I really hear the Spirit? Or do I just kind of go through and keep going and keep going and keep going until I can't go anymore? And then that draws me to rest. I want to challenge us. I always tell my kids, we worry a lot in my house. I'm sure nobody else ever worries. We worry a lot in my house. We worry about lots of things. And I find that worrying disrupts my soul rest. And so my kids and I have this. Remember, I'm from the West Coast, okay? So this is weird. That's fine. My kids and I have a worry bucket, and it's just like this. So when we're worrying in the worry bucket, we just put all our things. I'm worried that my pants are too tight. I'm worried I'm not going to do well on the test. I'm worried I'm not going to be liked. You know, whatever it is that you worry about. And we got a lot. I'm talking like my hands are out and they're shaking. A lot of worrying. But what I find is, when all my kids and when I put my stuff, specifically me, when I put my worries in this worry bucket, this is what we literally do, so good, we're weird. But I just like do this and release it, and I'm like, oh, the Lord has made those worries into beautiful butterflies. And we laugh and have a good time. But that's true. All of our worries, when we actually are able to tell the Lord all the things, I don't care what it is, Jesus can handle it. Jesus has got this. There's no way that your identity is found in anything else except for His calling for us. In Jeremiah 6:16. Oh, no, it's not working. There we go. This is what it says. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. This has been my verse in Montgomery. Stand, ask, which is listen, then walk and find rest. So in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the absolute crazy, can I actually close my eyes and find peace and rest? Yes, we can. Because that's in Christ. It says, stand and ask. We're not moving. We're just standing. I don't do that very good. You guys can tell I'm like walking around up here. I don't do very good at standing and listening. I don't know if it's a cultural thing. I don't know if that's how I was raised. I don't know if you guys are with me on this. I don't stand and listen a lot to the Lord. Why? Because I don't talk a lot to Him. I don't talk to Him enough. I think He's ready maybe to talk to me through His word, through other people, through other people's word, through the silence. But am I willing to stand and ask? My life with Christ started literally on a mountaintop, but that's because I'm from the West Coast. When I came to know Jesus, I had to go on this little hike. I'm in junior high. I looked super cute. And I walked with Christ. And I literally had to have it out with Him because nobody around me really knew Him. And I didn't understand why my family was so different. You know, in junior high, you don't want to be different. Why was my family being intentional on Sunday mornings? Why was my mom telling me about Christ at night? Why did I have this spiritual warfare going on that I felt like it's just a lot of darkness? And I had to come to get to know him and tell him the honest truth that I don't know if I know you. I don't know if I really believe in you. And guess what he did? I'm right here. You know me. I love you. You can do this. I just love when Christ speaks his truth on us. I really do think that we can find Christ in the silence and in our rest. We can also be brave in our stories. I don't know if you've read Brené Brown. I'm a fan, but I'm also a really big fan of Henry Nouwen, and I think one goes into another. I'm just going to read these quotes to you real fast. Brené says, "We own our stories, so we won't spend our times being defined by them or denying them." I would say when our identity is in Christ, when our soul rests in his love, our stories of our lives no longer define us. And Henry Nouwen takes it farther. He says, "Our lives are not problems to be solved, but journeys to be taken with Jesus as our friend and finest guide." I mean, amen. I want to journey with you. I want you guys to journey with me because this is what we got. We don't always choose the people who we're around, but we can choose to love the people we're around. We can choose to find our identity in Christ and to find our rest and to choose his love. The biggest compliment I get here, and I don't know if it's a compliment. Megan Smith and I debate, is this a compliment or is it a diss? Or I don't really know. I don't always speak Southern. But people say, "Oh, Pam, you're just so real." Okay? Like, I don't really know what that means. But what I do know is I guess I'm drawing other real people to be my friends because I got friends here. And I guess I'm just saying in the way that when Christ says it's a journey, not a problem, let's stop trying to solve each other and let's just love each other, maybe. I mean, kumbaya, but seriously, wouldn't that be wonderful? The last thing I want to say is just being brave together means Jesus will help us be brave. And there is beauty found in community. Whether it's we find our neediness, because guess what? I always tell my kids, guess what? Mommy needs Jesus too. I'm all about needing Jesus all the time. I'm not always going to shine Jesus, and guess what? That means I need him. I'm not always going to be kind and loving and all the things that I wish I could be because I need him. And there is no problem in the world with turning to somebody and saying, "I need Jesus," to reflect him. And there's also beauty found in that, honestly. There's beauty found in being vulnerable and real. So the last thing I have to do tonight is read a book because I'm a K-3 teacher and I have to. But you'll get the point in a minute. When I say being brave together, I mean I would love if, you know, all the women in this room just journeyed together and we did that. That would be awesome. But really, I think it takes one or two people in our lives to help us in times of trouble, to know that we're not alone. And I think more than anything, it's Jesus whispering his love and his truth and his bravery upon us. Sheila Ray the Brave. Whittington, do you mind just going through that while I read it? Okay. So, Sheila Ray wasn't afraid of anything. She wasn't afraid of the dark. She wasn't afraid of thunder and lightning. And she wasn't afraid of the big black dog at the end of the block. At dinner, Sheila Ray may believe that the cherries in her fruit cocktail were the eyes of dead bears, and she ate 5 of them. At school, Sheila Ray giggled when the principal walked by. And when her classmate Wendell stole her jump rope during recess, Sheila Ray tied him up until the bell rang. "I am very brave," Sheila Ray said, patting herself on the back. Sheila Ray stepped on every crack in the sidewalk without fear. When her sister Louise said there was a monster in the closet, Sheila Ray attacked it. And she rode her bicycle no-handed with her eyes closed. "Yay, yay, Sheila Ray," her friends yelled, clapping their hands. One day, Sheila Ray decided to walk home from school a new way. Louise was afraid to. "You're too brave for me," Louise said. "You're always such a scaredy cat," Sheila Ray called. "Am not," whispered Louise. Sheila Ray started off skipping. "I am brave," she sang. "I am fearless." She stepped on every crack. She walked backwards with her eyes closed. She growled at stray dogs and bared her teeth at stray cats. And she pretended that the trees were evil creatures. She climbed up them and broke their fingers off. Snap, snap, snap. Sheila Ray walked and walked. She turned corners. She crossed streets. It suddenly occurred to Sheila Ray that nothing looked familiar. Sheila Ray heard frightening noises. They sounded worse than thunder. She thought horrible thoughts. They were worse than anything she had ever imagined. "I am brave," Sheila said to convince herself. "I am fearless." The sounds became more frightening. The thoughts became more horrible. Sheila Ray sat down on a rock and cried. "Help," she sniffled. Y'all, I always cry at this part. She thought of her mom and dad and Louise. There we go. "Mom, Dad, Louise," she cried. "Here I am," a voice said. My little three-year-old, they're just like, "Are you okay?" "Sorry. Here I am." "Ooh." "Louise," Sheila Ray hugged her sister. "We're lost," Sheila Ray said. "No, we're not," said Louise. "I know the way home. Follow me." Louise stepped on every crack. She walked backwards with her eyes closed. She growled at stray dogs and bared her teeth at stray cats. And she pretended that the trees were evil creatures. She jumped up and broke their fingers off. Snap, snap, snap. Sheila Ray walked quietly behind her. They walked and walked. They crossed streets. They turned corners. Soon their house could be seen between the trees. Sheila Ray grabbed Louise and dashed up the street. When they reached their own yard and the gate was closed behind them, Sheila Ray said, "Louise, you are brave. You are fearless." "We both are," said Louise, and they walked backwards into the house with their eyes closed. The author there just reminds us that we do need one another, that when we are lost, sometimes we just need somebody to say, "I'm here." But even if it's not a person, it's the Holy Spirit saying, "I'm here. I've got this. I'm with you." And the only way we can find that is when we choose to be brave in our rest, when we choose to be brave in our stories, and when we choose to be brave together. I want to just sing. I know we're Presbyterian, but I'm going to close this with a song. It's a worship song. If you want to stand up, you can to sing. I'm going to. I'm going to turn off the mic. Don't worry. But it's called, thank you, Winnington. I wanted to share this because a good friend of mine shared it with us before we sing. But I want us to sing this last song, and then maybe you have something else to say, and then we'll go. But I love this from Ann Voskamp because it reminds us of who we can be brave in. She says, "You aren't your yesterday. You aren't your messes. You aren't your failures. You aren't your brokenness. You are brave enough for today because He is. You are strong enough for what's coming because He is. And you are enough for all that is because He is. So go out and be brave, people. We can do this."